This is a Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast Rewind with Doe. Enjoy.
I don't always know the right way. No, I don't always know what to say. But all I know is something happens when I pray.
Hello, hello, hello. And welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, comment, and subscribe, and you can download for free so that you never ever miss an episode of this uplifting, inspiring, and encouraging show. My guest today is
Grammy-nominated recording artist, singer-songwriter Doe Jones, a.k.a. Just Doe. Now, many of you remember her from singing with her family, Forever Jones. Oh, she's a solo artist out now with a debut album. It is called Clarity, and it was just released on Jonathan McReynolds' record label, Life Room, and that's in partnership with RCA Inspiration. Her latest single, which is a hot one right now. Folks are loving it because they really do need this. And listen to the title, When I Pray. And you can watch the video on YouTube. So, Doe, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Yes, so glad to be back.
You're welcome. We were talking, folks, off mic that the last time that Doe and I talked, she was in line to vote for the presidential election. So
That's right.
Was interesting. She took the time to be on our program, and we were really grateful for that, and we're grateful for this time right now.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm able to make it, and I'm glad I'm not in line this time.
Because you said that you're in Nashville, and you've been singing, doing some singing down there.
Well, I've been singing, I went to Tampa, Dallas, and Austin last week, and I got back on Monday. So I had been doing a lot of singing, and so I have had the last 2.5 days kind of to rest my voice.
So is Nashville your home base now?
It is.
Because aren't you originally from, is it Louisiana?
That's right, Louisiana. Well, I'm from Yakima, Washington.
Oh, okay. I know where that
is. Yes. So we moved to Shreveport, Louisiana in 2003, I think. Mm-hmm. January 2003. And and we were there for 14 and a half years. So I'm kind of half Southern Belle, half Northern chick. You got it all in here.
Yeah, the Pacific Northwest, where you're originally from, that's a world unto itself.
It really is. It's beautiful, too. It's like all four seasons.
The last time we talked, you had just released your number one single. It became a number one single, Brighter.
Yes, that's right.
And we were still in the midst of COVID.
We were still in the middle of COVID. I remember that. My goodness, yeah. Yeah, there was so much going on in our country, actually, as a whole. Yeah, we really needed some kind of burst of hope or, you know, something like that. And it's nice. I mean, we're not post-COVID just yet, but I feel like we're the closest that we've been. You know, we've had a lot of like moments where we felt like we were going to be post-COVID, and then there was another flare-up, and I feel like we're kind of on our way now.
We're in the middle of some other stuff now with possible war things going on, so we really need hope, and we really need music like that, which you are putting out right now.
Oh, thank you.
How's the family? How's mom? How's dad? How are your siblings?
Mom and dad everybody's kind of spread out, you know. Mom and dad are good. They're pastoring in Dallas. The baby girl, you remember her? She travels with me from time to time, actually. One of my brothers is in New York, and then another one is married, and then my sister and her husband are married, and they lead worship in Greenwood, Louisiana, and they have 3 kids. So
everybody's scattered, but still doing the work of the Lord. Amen to that.
That's right. Yeah. So that's been pretty great, but I get to see them, actually, because I go to Dallas a lot, and it's a nice middle ground for all of us to kind of come to every now and then.
You are a gifted songwriter, and you honed your skills working with your family, with Forever Jones, and now you are a fully grown woman.
Fully grown. All the way.
All the way. So when did you write your first song and know that you had this gift of songwriting?
Gosh, when did I realize it was a gift? Probably as a teenager. You know what? Actually, I remember writing a song for my dad's church because he pastored in Yakima, and we sang it for worship, and it really went over well. There were a couple of songs that we did. You know, when I look back, I know that my uncle, who was the worship pastor at the time, and my dad really championed me. I don't know that my songs were really that great. but I think they saw evidence of the gift on me. So I was probably around 12, 13 when I started writing and they were singing.
Who influenced you as a young girl, a singer, songwriter? Who had the most influence over you and your style? Because you have a very unique style.
You know, I listen to everybody. There are so many influences that are all wrapped up into who I am. But I know that my uncle, my dad and my uncle would write a song and then Sunday morning be like, hey, I wrote this new song. We're going to sing it. So I grew up watching the process of songwriting and knowing that it didn't have to be this long drawn out thing, that it could be a moment of inspiration and it could touch a lot of people, you know? So I have to say that my family probably had the largest imprint or influence on me as a songwriter.
Now, was it hard when you all started doing your own thing? You had Forever Jones, and He Wants It All was a huge, huge success for you, for the family. And now you're off into your solo world. Was it hard branching out and being a solo artist?
Yeah, of course. Of course, it was a challenge. I think the challenge was being okay with doing what I feel I'm called to do individually. My family, if you've been, we're releasing a docu series right now on my YouTube talking about this whole process. But my family has always been very supportive. There has never been an ounce of jealousy there. Everybody has known that I wanted to do this and that I was going to do it. So that's a beautiful thing, you know, but the challenge for me was growing and growing into it and the learning process, the communication that comes with working with a label. You know, the level of communication that is needed for that to go well. So, yeah, that's where if there were anything that I was challenged with, that I had to grow up into, it was that.
Dealing with the label and the business aspect of it, because, you know, you already got the spirituality part down and the ministry down. But that business, that part of it is a whole nother beast.
Yeah, I would actually say more so business, like you said, rather than label, because, you know, everybody's been great, but it's a whole other dynamic. So I was an emotional creative who just wrote songs and knew what I wanted to do, but then you get into it and you learn how things work and you learn how to have conversations and you learn how to, you know, who to talk to and what steps need to be taken before you sign this, or, you know what I mean? And you build relationships and you network, and all of those things were not my strong suits coming into it. So I've had to grow into that.
Oh, I do understand and know about that process. Once upon a time, many, many years ago, I worked at Warner Brothers Records in artist relations and artist development. I do know that process, and it is, let's just say, it's interesting.
Yeah.
now, you're on Jonathan McReynolds' label, Life Room. So how did you end up on his label? Because you all had been friends, right?
Yeah, we've been friends for a while. I tell the story in interviews, so I think it's funny. I found our first DM, and it was on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And I screenshot it and sent it to him. I was like, the beginnings. You know, and now we're in business together, and I just think it's really great.
Well, are you the first artist signed on his label?
I'm the first.
Oh, wow. That's awesome. Yeah. The first. Yes. So other folks got big shoes to fill in as they come on board. Life Room.
Well, and the cool thing about John is he wants to find the people who are having to create a lane for themselves. He wants to find the people who have a very strong voice in artistry and help pave the way for them, because he had to do that for himself.
Yeah, I remember when he came on the scene, and I remember coming to a conference in St. Louis, and he was a young featured artist because he's from Chicago. And the first time I witnessed his ministry and he performed at this conference, oh my God, this young man is awesome. He is so gifted. That's what I thought about Jonathan. And wow, look at him now. It's, you know, God's hand land on Jonathan and his music. So praise God for that. You as a, you're a millennial. So how do you deal with this whole like social media phenomenon in the whole cancel culture thing that's out there? And people are so, they can be so judgmental on social media and so less forgiving. How do you navigate that world?
I think it's a case by case basis. You know, for instance, there was a video yesterday that I wanted to post for National Women's Month, and I felt it might be too suggestive for my following. And I know you're just, you learn, you know, how your following is going to react. And but on the flip side of that, there are areas where I won't make a compromise, and that is when it comes to Jesus and who I am. I think this whole era has taught us how to articulate things clearly, but in the least offensive way that we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
But I also feel like I also feel like we've lost a little bit of the grit because everyone's afraid to offend. So I feel like things may feel like chaos right now, but it's because we're finding the balance. And I think too, for so long, people were just allowed to say whatever they wanted to say and reject people and hurt people, sometimes in the name of God. And God's like, don't put that in my name. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're kind of in this place to where people are getting canceled, maybe for saying even the right thing, but also, you know, people are getting canceled who need to be canceled. And I feel like at some point, hopefully we'll find the balance. But you're a Christian, I'm a Christian, and, yeah. And our Bible says that it only gets worse from here with the persecution. So I often find myself saying, you know, I'm ready for it when it comes, because I know that that's going to be a part of my story. And I had to do the verse of the day for the Bible app, and it was a scripture talking about persecution, and it says to take joy because you have, if you're persecuted for my name, because you have been chosen for this, you have been counted as worthy to be persecuted for my name. And I think oftentimes we take that scripture and we just think it applies to bad things that happen in our lives and that kind of suffering. But actually, mm-hmm. that scripture is pointing out a righteous suffering that comes when because you bear the name of Christ. And I am like, let's go. I'm, you know, I probably sound really confident now, and it'll hurt me when it happens, you know, but it is what it is. You know, I'm like, yeah. Anybody who's a Christian should know that at some point they're going to be canceled on some level, and it just comes with the territory. So that's not, I mean, I kind of gave you an everywhere answer, but it's an everywhere kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. So yeah. Moving on to your music, the album Clarity, the last time we talked, you were in the process of doing that. You had the single Brighter out, and then you released after that, you had So Good, and now you have the single When I Pray, which is, I just love it, love it. What's the backstory on the album Clarity? Who contributed to it? Who wrote, who produced on that? And yeah, so tell me about that.
Yeah, so one of my brothers played he's got a huge handprint on this entire album. He produced on, at least, right? So 1, 2, 3, 4 of the songs. And his name is Judah, and he just really champions me, and I'm really grateful for him. And then my other brother produced on When I Pray, and then Sean produced on it, and Lil Man, Daryl Howell, produced on everything. He really made sure to facilitate and to bring everything together and connect everyone that needed to be a part, and, you know, every sound, and I'm really thankful for Lil Man. Yeah, so it was kind of like this joint effort. I produced on some of it. I mean, I was a part of putting my arrangements together and sending in the demo for the direction of the production that I wanted it to be for a lot of the songs, or some of the songs, I should say, like I Try, Take Me Back, you know, just the beginning parts of it, because I'm not like them, you know, I can't put all the bells and whistles on it, but the beginning stages I definitely had a hand in. And we just kind of worked hard to put a little all the best songs that I have on the album.
Because you have 11 songs on there. Was there much difficulty in doing it in the midst of a pandemic?
Not really. I mean, everything was pretty chill, I should say. I think the only thing I hated was wearing the mask in the studio and kind of feeling a little bit constricted there. But, you know, you wanted to follow. sorry, I just had this memory of John getting frustrated with me and telling me to put my mask on, you know, and me being mad and being like, I tested before I got here, you know, just that whole thing of just wanting to really just be free to flow and having these little funny moments. There are a couple other producers there are two other producers I didn't mention, Brian Fowler and Chuck Butler, but on So Good and What I'm Waiting For. Anyway, yeah, I think that it was really fun, honestly.
What is it about that title? Is it speaking about a certain thing in your life, or what is it?
No, I think it's that one of the songs on the album is called Clarity. I felt like that word encompasses the entirety of the message of my album, which is that Israel Houghton, that's what I meant to say. Israel's on Undoing. He produced Undoing. If you listen to that last song, you can kind of hear his voice in the background. But the reason why Undoing came to mind is because that whole song is just about God stripping back these layers that have been hindering me for years, and me really learning to surrender parts of myself, my whole self, to him, really. But the thing, if you listen to the song Clarity, the true message of it is actually that if you will fully accept who God has called you to be, you'll have a better quality of life. And in the end, you can fully surrender the parts of yourself that you were trying to act like or trying to suppress. When you accept those parts, you can actually reach a greater level of surrender, and you can say, God, this is who you've called me to be, and I surrender it to you for you to use. When you reject those parts of yourself, he can't use them. Think about your testimony, the ugly parts, the parts you don't want people to know, but the parts that he feels like people need to hear, all a part of a greater level of surrender to Jesus. And I'm watching him create an incredible storyline with your life.
Surrendering, giving it up and over to God, and letting it go. And once you do that, you will have some clarity.
Yep. Absolutely.
So talk to me about your collaborations on this album. Of course, you know, you got Jonathan, you talked about Israel on there. Speaking of that, I did watch looking at the video with the folks from Maverick City and Tribal. And how did that come about? Because I saw Todd Delaney on there. Of course, Jonathan's on there. So how did that come about? I love it, though, but how did it come about?
Well, Maverick had been reaching out to me to come to a writing session for a while, and I wasn't able to make it. And then I was able to make it and just happened to be able to be a part of their Jubilee album. So that, you know, that was obviously an amazing thing to get to be a part of. And I got two songs on that album, which are Keep Praying and Breathe. And it's really funny because everywhere I go, people are like, are you signed to Maverick? And I'm like, no. but I love them, and I'm really thankful for all that they are and to the body of Christ.
I want to go back to When I Pray, and I really love that. And is that your dad really speaking on there?
It is. I would not put another man on there to act as my dad with my father still living.
I could not do that to my daddy.
I wouldn't do it to me. I mean, he really has carried the message of prayer all of my life in him, and he instilled it in us. So, and what you hear him saying is what he says all the time. You know, it's like, I didn't say, Dad, would you say this and just say it like this? I literally called my dad and I was like, hey, Dad, I need you to send me a voice message like you're sending me a voicemail, and just, you know, talk about prayer and encourage me like you do. And so he did, you know, and so everything on there is him saying what he's been saying to me all of my life.
I think it's resonating as it goes out into the global markets, place and space out there, because the time that we're living in, people need to know that when they pray, God hears them and will be there for them. So all I can say is it's working.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what do you want this album Clarity to do? I know the singles have been just awesome and chart topping singles, but what do you want the entire 11 track Clarity album to do as it goes out into the marketplace? What do you want it to do?
I want people to, as I talked about Clarity, I want them to walk away feeling convicted to give and to surrender and to accept all of who they are for the sake of Christ. There is like a unique handprint, fingerprint that God has called each of us to leave on earth. And I think far too often people, especially today, right, because there's so many trends, it's easier to jump on a bandwagon than to discover who God's called you to be. But when we do that, we neglect and walk away from the beauty of discovery and the beauty of the gospel being communicated the way only we can communicate it, and therefore neglect a subgroup of people who can only hear and understand the gospel the way that God's called us to communicate it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Your life's language, the way that you speak and your experiences is a life language that people will understand, and they're waiting for us. They're waiting to hear us talk about what God has brought us through. They're waiting to hear us communicate the power of the gospel. And so I really pray that when people hear this album, that they walk through that, because this is a journey of self-discovery and transformation. That's what the album is. So okay. I think it'll be that for them too.
So where can people find your music in the digital space of things?
Everywhere. Anywhere you listen to music is where my album is. Apple Music, Amazon Music, Google Play, YouTube, Spotify, all of it. Yeah, so just go stream it. And if you really, really want to bless me, go buy the album on iTunes.
Amen. Go buy it, y'all. So how can people connect with you, Doe, on social media?
They can follow me on Instagram at Doe Jones Music, on Facebook at Doe. They can go to my Facebook, my YouTube. We're constantly trying to post stuff to keep up with everybody. And I love interacting with people. And I do that the most on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
Okay, Sister Doe, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate you sharing your backstory, sharing what you're going through now, talking about the album Clarity, and especially about the single When I Pray right now, which is making some major noise and blessing people in the marketplace right now. So thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you.
And audience, I want to thank you for joining us yet once again. I really, really do appreciate you. Make sure that you subscribe right now to this show so that you never, ever miss an episode of its uplifting, encouraging, and inspiring testimonies of faith. Now, to reach me, you want to connect with me, you want to follow me? Yeah, you do. You can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS. Or Instagram at LynnWoods96, or Facebook at Lynn Woods. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Doe Jones, or simply Doe, is going to take us on home with When I Pray. God bless.
All I know is something else.